So tonight's shir is dedicated to Ilui Nishmoso, Shalu Isha Chashuva, Moras Chaya Basav Yankov HaKoyen, the mother of our dear friend Rav Kalman Walker, who was a steady participant in the shir and in Ord of Kalman for many years. So your mother should have an Aliyas Nishoma. The title we learn tonight should be Ilui Nishmoso. She should be a Melitzas Yosha for the entire family. And you should only know Nachas and Simcha and Ach Toi V'Chesed Kol Hayomim. So in this week's Parshas Kitzaitzei, we learn about many, many mitzvahs, and sometimes the difficulty is just to decide what to omit, what not to speak about. And at this year, I usually try not to get into very complicated sugyas, because after all, it's not a kollel, and you didn't prepare for the year. And the tachlis of this shir is lishtasheh b'divrei Torah, just enjoy our learning and to discuss a sugya. And everybody should leave the besmedish after the shir elated and enlightened and happy and sameach b'divrei Torah. So one of the lavin we learned this week's parsha is the iser of ribis. Ribis is some of the most complicated halachas that we have in Dalat Chalke Shechanoch. So tonight we will discuss the concept of Ribis Devorim, not Ribis Momoim. Ribis Devorim is not that complicated. So the Pasuk says, Loi Sashech Lo Uchicho, Neshech Kesef, Neshech Oichal, Neshech Kol Dovo, Asher Yishach. And in Baba Metzia, Ayin Heyom Edbeis, Chazal's interpretation is Neshech Kol Dovo. Many times Dovo means Dibur, Neshech Kol Dibur, and it is from here that Chazal learned that there's an Isra and Ribis Devorim. So the halacha is, Loi hoyo roge lahagdem loi sholoim, loi yagdem loi sholoim. So Reuben gives a loan to Shimon. And Shimon was never really very friendly to Reuben. And he passes him every day in the morning on the street, and he never even said, good morning. He never asked him, how do you do? So after Reuben gives a loan to Shimon, Shimon suddenly becomes far more friendly, and Shimon starts greeting him in the morning. That is an Isra of Ribis. And that is defined as Ribis Devorim. And these halachas are Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Samech, Sif Yud Aleph, Rambam Perekei of Malve Veloiva. So besides the Isra of Ribis Mamain, we also have an Isra of Ribis Devorim. So if one gives a loan to the other, A gives a loan to B, B is not allowed to pay more than he received, that is Ribis Momen, he also cannot reciprocate in any other way, Toivus Anoa, or even Devorim. And he cannot go beyond, he cannot go beyond what he did, Mitmoyel Shoshoim. And there's a machlokes in the early Achroinim, whether we're dealing with Nisid or Aish or Nisid Rabbanon. So the Gemara learns it from Neshach Kol Dovor Asher Yushach. Dovor means Dibur. The Chayodam in a Sefer on Yoredeya. As we know, Chayodam and Nishma Sodom are Orachayim, Chachma Sodom and Bina Sodom are Yoredeya. Chachma Sodom, Klal Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Yud Aleph, Chayodam Itains. We're dealing with an Isra Darabon. This definitely is not a Drosha Gemura. Neshech Kol Dovor Asher Yishach. That is not a Drosha Gemura. It's an Asmachta. And we're dealing with an Isra Darabon according to the Chayodam. Tshuva Sarivash in Akuf Mem Zayin, it seems to be clear, in his opinion, we're dealing with an Isra Diuraisa. And this might be a Drosha Gemura. And I think that this is a Machlokes in the Rishayim. In the very early Rishayim, we find two different opinions. Rank Subis. The Ran writes, even though there is no Isra of Ribis only Vishava Puta, like many other monetary issues, and the minimum sum, which would be defined as money, is a Shava Puta, so Pochas Mishava Puta, there is no Isra in Ribis, but the Ran says, nevertheless, it would be an Isra de Rabbonon, loy goram oy noas devorim. After all, you gave something. It might not be a Shava Puta, but loy goram oy noas devorim, saying hello, is not a Shuvah Pruta, and nevertheless it would be defined as an Issa. So the reverse says, even though there is no Issa Diuraisa in Rebbe's books of Shuvah Pruta, but there still would be an Issa Rabbanon, like Rebbe's Devorim. So it's quite obvious from the Ran that Rebbe's Devorim is an Issa Rabbanan and not an Issa Dioraisa. That is also the opinion of Sefer Trumas in Shar Mem Vav. Kirya Sefer, in his commentary on the Rambam, the Mabit wrote one of the Choshev Sforim, Meforshe HaRambam, commentary on the Rambam, Kirya Sefer, Perek Hei Memal Vavaloi, it seems to be clear that it's the Rabbanan. And actually, the Rambam himself, at the end of Perek Hei Seneshech, and Bova Mitzia Ayin Hei, and Perek Hei Mishnah, the Rambam writes, Ra'ui Lehisrachik Merivis Devorim. And that's a very interesting formula. And it's mashma that it's Ar Chokavi Alma. We might even feel that it's a Midas Chasidus when the Rambam writes Ra'ui Lehisrachik. So it definitely is an Issa Rabbanan. But what is clear from the Rosh of the Rambam is it's a Harchoka and not an Issa Dioraisa. The concept of Harchoka is Asu Siag LeTorah, like we learned in the very first Perek in Masechet Dovos. So all the Issurim de Rabbanan are Harchokas and Siogim. And if the Rambam writes Ra'ui Leslachik Meribis Dvorim, it's obvious that it's not an Issa Torah. Even bearing in mind that it's an Issa Rabbanan, this lotion would still be somewhat of a chiddush. It's mashma ra'ui l'slachik, as if it's a midas chasidus. But in the Gemara and in the Mishnah, it's clear that it's in a siddur rabbanon. But nevertheless, at least it's in a siddur rabbanon. On the other hand, toisus kedushin chesom et beis smag lo tase kuf tzadik aleph seems to be clear that in their opinion it's in a siddur raisa. So we have the toisus and the smag, which support the rivash and simen. Kuf Mem Zayin, as I quoted, and many Rishonim, it's obvious midivrayim that it's an Issa Rabbanan, like the Chochmas Odom writes. Another opinion we find, which is a great Chiddush, and the Beis Yosef quotes Hagoas Maimonios, and the Goas Maimonios says that there is no Issa Rabbanan only when the Loiva tells the Malva, I'm doing you this favor because you gave me a loan. So he gives him a bracha and he says, thank you, be avenged for giving me this loan. Only then is there an Issa Rabbanan. But if he just says, hello, good morning, how are you? And he does not connect it or associate it with the loan that he received, there is no Issa at all. So according to Goas Maimonides, there would be a difference between Ribbis Momen and Ribbis Devorim, because Ribbis Momen, everyone agrees that if you gave more than you received, even though you did not specify, and you did not say, this is an addition for the loan that you gave me, it still would be Ribbis. However, regarding Ribbis Devorim, the opinion of Agos Maimonides is that there is no Issa of Ribbis Devorim only if those Devorim are directly associated and connected with the loan. Otherwise, there would be no Issa. And this obviously is a big cooler. But the Beis Yosef rejects that from Loshon HaRambam, from the Loshon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, and Stome de Milsa, the Loshon is mashma, that under no circumstances could he go beyond what he was used to do in before he got the loan. And if he wasn't accustomed to greet him, he cannot greet him. So Pashtus HaLoshon from the Gemara and from the Rambam seems to clearly indicate that there's an Issa of Ribbis Devorim whether he associates it with the loan or not. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch once again is Soisim Belshoinoi, Lo Yagdim Lo Yisholoim, and it does not depend whether he clearly states that I'm doing this because you gave me the loan or not. In any event, it's also. Another quote that the Beis Yosef quotes from Agos Maimonides, and also Agos Mordechai, I think it's in Bava Metzia, Tov Samach Aleph. Aval Muta Lo Yilahachzik Lo Yisholoim, Ve'im ha'malva, gam hu, machzik loy toivo. Not machzik loy sholom, but machzik loy toivo. So if the loy is machzik toivo for the malva, and the malva reciprocates in a similar fashion, and the malva is also machzik toivo the loy, in that event, it's mutar, and there is no isar. So what does this mean? The Beis Yosef wonders, what does this mean? That the loy is entitled to be machzik toivo, if the malva is machzik toivo as well. Mahari Castro was one of the Kedmoinim. Shas Chubas Omale Yaakov Simen Kuf Chavov offers two different approaches, two different interpretations. Number one is that he could be Masik Leitoivim and he could say thank you, Bishas HaPeroin. And the Yisr of Ribbis Devorim, once again, is not the same as Ribbis Moin. Regarding Ribbis Moin, Iker Yisr Ribbis is B'Shas HaParoen, when he pays the loan, he cannot pay more than when he received. But the Yisr of Ribbis Devorim is only either B'Shas Halavoa, or as long as the money is still in the hands of the borrower. But when the borrower brings the money back and he pays the loan, at that stage he could be Matzah Kletoiv and he could say thank you because the money is no longer by him, and at that stage there is no longer an Issa Ribis. Regarding Issa Ribis Mamoin, even after you paid the loan you cannot give a gift, and that is defined as Ribis Mocheres. Ribis Mocheres is still an Issa Rabbonon. Lochein Legabi Ribis Devorim. But this pshat doesn't fit in with the lesson of the Goas Mamonios, that the loive could be Machzik Toive La Malve. The Malve is also Machzik Toive La Loive. So Mari Kaslo Ola Yankov suggests another interpretation, and I think that is very, very important, as I will techef explain. I have an opinion in these halachas, which is different than others, but I am thoroughly convinced in that my opinion is the just one and the right one. So it is very commonly known, if you got a loan, you cannot thank the person for giving you that loan, because that would be defined as Ribis Devorim, because the only reason you're thanking him is because he gave you that loan. And that is why many assume that one cannot say thank you when receiving a loan or when he pays that loan. So many people, instead of saying thank you, say Tiskel Mitzvahs or something similar. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Mincha Shloim in Chelek Aleph Simchov Zayin says that's far more complicated than saying thank you. And Reb Shlomo Zalman wants to argue that the Isser is only giving a brocha to the person that gave you the loan, because a brocha is something substantial. A brocha has worth. A brocha means something. We believe in brochas. We believe that when a person gives a brocha to another, it has some worth, it has some substance. And if it's allowed to curse a person, then obviously a klala has some weight. It might have effect. So if the Gemara says in Soita, that we should believe that a brocha means something. So we are very accustomed in running around to Rabbonim asking Rabbonim for brochas. And it's a good minig. I cannot say it's not right. Well, many people come to me for brochas. So if I say it makes no sense, maybe I'll have some more time every day. But I don't think people will believe me, because everyone that says, don't come to me for brochas, that just brings more people to come to him for brochas. So a brocha means something. And in my opinion, the relevance and the importance and the significance and the weight of a brocha depends not only on the person giving that brocha, how great he is and what a big tzaddik he is, it also depends on how much he cares for you, and whether that brocha comes from the depth of his heart or it's just menasofa velachutz. So a brocha menasofa velachutz means nothing, in my opinion. How could it mean something? A brocha is not words. Words in themselves don't mean anything. When a brocha, it really depends on how much the person cares about you and whether it comes mo'imek alev or it's just words. If it's just words, they don't mean anything. So we do believe essentially in brochas. Rashi writes, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, heyei brocha, Rashi's interpretation is a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu the koyach to bless people. And his blessings, his brochas, will be fulfilled. And when Avraham gives Yitzchok es kol asheloi, Rashi once again says that special zgula that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu passed down to Yitzchok, and from Yitzchok to Yankov, and Abenu Bachye in Parshas Vezoyis Abroch and Perusha Latoyah says that Yankov gave that to all the tzaddikim and all the coming generations. So a brocha has significance, and Reb Shlomo Zalman wants to argue, Mincha Shloim, Chelek Aleph Simchov Zayim, that Ribis Dvorim is only when you give a brocha. Saying thank you is not Ribis Dvorim. That's just manners. So according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, if you say Tiskel HaMitzvahs, that is also, because that's a brocha. Oh, And when Chazal say Yagdim Loi Shalom, that's a bracha. Because once upon a time, Shalom was not just saying good morning or good evening. Shalom was a bracha. And you give a bracha, give a person a bracha that a Kodesh Baruch should bestow Shalom and he should have peace and well-being. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wants to argue a chelek al simchot zayin that the entire Issa v'Rivus Avorim is only giving a bracha, but there's no problem saying thank you. And then he realized chelek beis mincha shloim klal siman samaches, he retracts and regrets the tshuva that he wrote in chelek aleph, because in Shulchan Aruch Harav shteit beferesh that osa loy mar divrei shevach v'kilusin v'lehoidois loy. You can't say thank you to a person that gave you a loan, and that is in Shulchan Aruch Harav. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman retracts what he wrote in the first chelek. And obviously this is not only giving a bracha, but Rebbe's Devarim in any way. When you make a person happy with words, that is Rebbe's Devarim. And actually, I don't think Rebbe Shlomo Zalman needed to go till the Shulchan Aruch Harav to retract. He should have retracted from the Rambam, because the Rambam in Perekei Malva Veloivis says that he cannot give a brocha or divrei shevach v'kilusin. And shevach v'kilusin is not a brocha. It's just praising a person, and that's not a brocha. And the Rambam writes, that is bechlal Rebbe's Devarim. And that is why many people don't say thank you. But we feel extremely uncomfortable after a person gives us a loan not saying thank you. So some of us have a strange way of saying thank you. And we say, if I would be permitted to say thank you, I would say thank you. But isn't that saying thank you? And if saying thank you is an isser, I don't think that makes sense. It's just a lengthy version of thank you. And the other person would ask, why are you wasting my time? You could just say thank you and let me go on, instead of giving me a pilpul and a chiddush in halacha. So if thank you is an issa, I think that would be the same, because what you are essentially saying is thank you.
Doesn't the Rav think that maybe not saying thank you will upset the person, will upset the lender? It's the other way.
So what is clear to me is, I think it's just common sense. What is Rebbe's all about? Rebbe's means repaying more than you receive. So besides paying back the debt, paying back the loan, you're giving him something additional. And that addition could either be money or doing him a favor or even with words. But it needs to be perceived by people as, he gave me something beyond what I gave him. So I think in our society, I don't know whether this is a better society than the ones of yore, but we definitely have some manners that we adopted, along the way. And to say today, telling a person thank you is something so basic, so fundamental, so obvious, I don't think it's preserved as he said thank you and he made me so happy. If he won't not say thank you, that would be offensive. That would be rude. So is it reasonable that we are to be rude towards people that did us a favor? Is that reasonable? Does that make sense? So saying thank you is basic courtesy. It is not perceived as receiving something. So when Chazal say, that is a very clear situation. We pass each other every day in the morning, and he never said thank you. Since I gave him a loan, he gives me thank you. And when a person that you just pass in the street and he greets you, not everybody greets you. Why not? I don't know. I usually greet every person whom I cross on the street. And even when I'm in Europe, in Chofesh, and many times you take walks in the mountains and trails, and Goyim come the other way around. Am I more choshev and more mechubed than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Shema'olam lo yehigdim lo yodam sholoim, and he was magdim sholoim lekol odam. And the Gemara says in Brochas Yud Zayin, he was magdim sholoim even to a goy. And I think in Perek Dalet of Masechet Tovos, it's Rav Masya ben Chorosh, one of the Tanoim, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rav Masya ben Chorosh says, Havei makdim shalom lekol olam, and Rashi writes on the spot, even for a goy. And I think Rav Masya ben Chorosh probably heard this from his Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who was a Talmud disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and that was the meaning of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. However, not all people say a good morning or shalom aleichem. So if a person wasn't accustomed to do so, and now we do so, that's something new. And the recipient of that, Bruchim Aboyim, makes a note of it. You know, he wasn't so nice to me in the past. Now he's nice to me. And that is because he gave him a loan. That is Rebbe's Devarim. But when you say thank you, that is so natural. It's not only upon receiving a loan, you know, if he would step aside and let you pass before him or to the bus or to the train, you would also say thank you. Anything one person does for the other, it's just basic courtesy, and it's not perceived as, besides paying the loan, he gave me something else. So I do not think that halacha requires us to be nasty and rude towards people that were nice to us. So not saying thank you is offensive, and saying thank you is not perceived by people as giving something. It's not perceived as receiving something, and therefore, I think there's no problem at all saying thank you, either when you get the loan or when you pay the loan. Say thank you when you got the loan, say thank you when you repaid the loan. However, loy lahaf lig bidvorim. Because if you go out of your way and you give him so much thanks, which will leave him with a very special feeling, that is like that might be considered a misvorm. But just casually saying thank you, is not a problem at all. And I think probably that is the kavana of Ohel Yankov in a second pshat that he gives in Agois Mamonios. So the Agois Mamonios says, you cannot thank and you cannot give a brocha. That would be fine as the Bezvorm. Avol, mutar lahachzik loy toivo, v'gama malva machzik loy toivo. Which means, usually when you say thank you to Darabah, he says, bevakasha. You say thank you and he says, you're welcome. So the fact that the malva also says a kind word to the loiva proves that it's just courtesy. It's not that the loiva says thank you because you do me this great favor. So why would the malva say, you're welcome? Why would the malva say bevakasha? Why does he say anything? It's not the loiva that did him a favor. He did a favor to the loiva. So this proves that it's basic courtesy. It's not about giving, and it would not be defined as ribis. Because the basic idea of ribis must always be the same, whether it's ribis dvorim or it's ribis momen. Ribis is ribis. And ribis is in addition. Besides paying back the money, he gave you something else. So saying thank you is not perceived as anything which is outstanding. Everyone says thank you upon anything the other party did for you. So ribis essentially is agar netar. Ribis is defined as man hamtonas mois. What is this of ribis? Because the reason you're paying more than you received is because you held his money for some period of time. So when you go up on a bus, you have money, but your hands are full. You have two bags, and you can't reach into your pocket to take money out of your pocket. And you ask the person next to you, could you pay for me? And as you get on the bus and you sit down, you put down your bags, you give him back the money that he paid for you. Wouldn't you say thank you? There is no agar natar. There is no schar hamtonas mois. I mean, you'd pay back immediately. 2 minutes after he gave you money, he gave it back. So that would definitely not be defined as ribis. So wouldn't you say thank you? So this proves that the thank you has nothing to do with hamtonas mois. And therefore, I don't think it would be in this at all. And that is the understanding of the Ohel Yankov in his second interpretation, the second chat that he gives in the Gos Mamonios. So the Gos Mamonios says, So even Rebbe's Devarim is also Emloi Hoyo Roga Lahagdim Lisholim or Salahagdim Lisholim. But if the Loiva is Maxik Toiva for the Malva and the Malva is Maxik Toiva for the Loiva, that would not be a problem. So Maxik Toiva means just showing that you appreciate, showing appreciation that is not perceived as giving something. And I think it is just a hadgosha that the Malva is also Maxik Toiva the Loiva. In Lamdis, one could argue that maybe the kavona of the Agos Mamonies, and this would be maybe my interpretation, because I think the pshat of the Oli Yaakov, which I accept in Alocha, Alocha Lamaisa, I accept his approach, but I don't think it's Mesiasev Baloshan Agos Mamonies. Agos Mamonies says, Emachzik Loi Toiva, and the Malva is also Machzik Toiva, that's Nahanisa. So my suggestion would be this. So Aleph gave a loan to Beis, and Beis pays back the loan. Besides paying back the loan, he does a favor to Aleph, and Aleph reciprocates by doing for him a similar favor. So it is a favor for a favor. It's not a favor for the loan. Okay. So they swapped Hachzokas Toiva. The Loivis Machzik Toiva for the Malva. L'chayda that's Levis. But if the Malva reciprocates in a similar fashion and he's Machzik Toiva for the Loiva, that proves that neither the Loiva nor the Malva saw the Hachzokas HaToiva as an expression of thanks for the Halavoa. If that is the way it would be preserved by then there would be no reason for the Malva to reciprocate by Hachzokas HaToiva LaLoiva, because he did me a favor because I lended him money. So why would I be expected to do a favor for him? He didn't lend me money. I was the one that lent him money. So the fact that the loiva is machzik toiva la malva, and in exchange the malva is also machzik toiva la loiva, that renders the achzukas atoiva is not ribis. Because the fact is that the loiva expected the malva to reciprocate, and the malva did the same, and therefore that would not be defined as ribis. So we actually have three pshotim, two pshotim of the Ohala Yankov, and what I would suggest, which would be a third approach. So in my opinion, there is no problem at all saying thank you, and I think getting a loan and not saying thank you is just fundamentally wrong. Halocha always makes sense. Halocha is natural, and halocha is menschlich. Doesn't make sense that you are to be exceptionally rude dafka towards people that did you a favor. And you never think twice about saying thank you to anyone, but if a person gives you a loan, you won't say thank you. That doesn't make sense. And as I explained, I think it's poshut that it's mutter to say thank you. Yes. So just one moment. But we have to come back to the Shulchan Aruch now. Shulchan Aruch says, I don't know what to say. So Rav Shmuel Zalman was a gevaldige onav. He was 100 times greater than me. But if he saw the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he retracted. I'm very reluctant to retract, because to me, what I say seems to make so much sense. So why would I retract? Shulchan Aruch Rav says, Ose lohoides loy. I don't know. So maybe in their day and age, it wasn't natural to say thank you. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch Rav means saying thank you, not when you receive the loan or you paid it back, but a week later or a month later, you come to his house, you knock on the door, and you say thank you. That is beyond what is usually done. As I said, ein lahaflig bedvorim, going beyond basic courtesy, going beyond basic manners, that would be a shaila of ribis devorim. But as long as it is within the realm of what is expected and what is reasonable and what is perceived as basic manners and basic courtesy, that would not be a chashash of ribis devorim. Yes?
According to the last pshat that Rav said, so if the loiva would say good morning to the malva, then the malva would say good morning to the loiva again, because they're just also manners, so it should also be okay.
I think so. Yeah. So we discussed first of all the concept of ribis devorim, and now I want to move over and speak about hachzokas toiva, which is somewhere between ribis devorim and ribis mamon. So ribis mamon is actually giving money, and lav dafka money. Neshech mamon, neshech oichel, neshech koldova asher yushach. So ribis mamon is whether it's money or fruit or objects or anything else.
Just go back for a second. Could Osir Lahoidos mean beyond saying normally thank you, you're the most generous person
that's
in the city.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said. She'ein lahaflik bitvorim. Don't exaggerate. Don't go out of your way. You should say thank you, but anything in which you go beyond that, you say you're so great, you're so generous, nobody ever did me a favor, I don't know what I would do without you, that is already touching on the chashash of ribis devorim.
The problem was the starting point. They passed each other a ribis devorim, there was no law involved, he said nothing to him, he responded with nothing, and now all of a sudden he gets a loan. Now he says something in return, thank you, well, good morning. Why wouldn't that be the comparison before and after? So what
we discussed was actually saying thank you upon receiving the money or paying it back. That was the question. So you can't ask, you never said thank you before. I never had a reason to say thank you before because we just passed each other. People don't say thank you when they pass each other. So now I have a reason to say thank you. And that is why thank you would not be defined as service. But I think you mean to ask a very fundamental question. So from now on, after we got to know each other, you gave me a loan, I want to say good morning. Would that be a problem?
No.
Would that be a problem? So I want to go beyond what I said before, and I don't think that would be a problem either. Why? Because if we didn't know each other, yes, I'm not a very friendly person. I don't say thank you to people I don't know. But now that we got to know each other, so you gave me a loan, I paid it back on time. The mere fact is that now we know each other. And as we know each other, it's only natural that I say good morning. I think that once again would be mutar. So we're speaking about nuances. In Lashon Kodesh, dakuyot. We speak about nuances. But I think these nuances are so logical and so fundamental and so pushit. So, the iser, im lo yorog al ha'agdam le'sholem. Lo yagdam le'sholem is people that knew each other very well. We know each other very well. We're neighbors for 10 years. We play together in kindergarten. Our parents know each other. The families know each other. But I'm not a friendly person. I never said good morning. And now I will say good morning. That's ribis devorim. But if we never had any interaction, we didn't know each other, and now that I asked for a loan, and you gave me a loan, and I paid it back on time, now I say good morning just because I say good morning to every person that I know, I do not think that would be an issur. So what I argue fundamentally is that the issur of ribis devorim is giving more than you receive. Going out of your way because he gave you a loan. But from now on, if I'm going to say good morning, it's not because you gave me the loan. It's just because we came to know each other in a positive way. We know each other in a positive context. So that would not be considered in a ribis devorim. Yes?
Just returning to the Agoras Mammonius for a minute, the spirit of it there seems to be reciprocity. And it seems reciprocity smacks in halakha of tnai. So how does he deal with the idea that there's something going on here with my...
I don't think reciprocity is a tenai. A tenai must be a tenai mefurash or a mechlola. Sometimes reciprocity is just it depends in what way a person reciprocates. For instance, shoshvinus is a concept we're not familiar with today, but shoshvinus in the days of Chazal was when you made a simcha and I came and I gave a gift, you're mechuyev to give a gift when I'm going to make a chasen, you're going to come to me. In some circles, yeah, that's the way they see it today as well, but in other circles, not. But when a person does someone a favor, not always is he expected to reciprocate in the same way. I mean,
there's sort of a social contract that's inherent to that.
I think it's very dependent on what the circumstances are or what we're dealing with. One cannot say in a blanket way that everything one does for another, he expects the other to reciprocate. It's not business. People are nice because they're nice and without, you know, the cheshbonness of reciprocity. But, okay, so we spoke about Ribbis Devorim, and I think I made my basic opinion very clear regarding Ribbis Devorim. And now let's speak about Machzik Loi Toivo. So I think there are three different forms of Ribbis. And the basic form of Ribbis is about possession or money, or money or objects or food or any other thing that is worth money, kesef or shove kesef. And then there's Ribbis Devorim, and Ribbis Devorim is on the other end of the spectrum, because Ribbis Devorim lechoyre is not shvei kesef. It's just being nice and making a person happy. But then there's the idea of machzik loy toivo. So in the Gemara, there's a machlokes, toivo sanoa momoin or einoi momoin. And the source of this machlokes, the basic machlokes is, when a person is mafresh tumas and maisis, that money he cannot keep for himself. The mitzvah is, that's not your money. It belongs to the kohen, to the levi, or to the oni. So we have tumah that goes to the kohenim, tumah and tumah gedolah. We have maisa rishon that goes to the levi, and maisa oni that goes to the needy and the desperate. So I am giving from my produce, but actually I'm giving what the Torah obliges me to give, and I cannot keep that money for myself. But I have the liberty to choose to whom to give, which kohen to give to, which levi to give to, which oni to give to. Is that considered mamon? And the basic machlokes is, if a person stole my truma and he gave it to a kohen, does he need to compensate me? Is that considered he stole from me? Well, I couldn't keep that truma for myself. It is intended for kohenim. I had to give it away to a kohen. But my argument is, that was my prerogative and my privilege to choose a kohen. And you took that away from me, so I deserve compensation. That is the machlokes, whether Toivos Anoa is considered mamon or it's not considered mamon. Definitely the wrong thing to do. But if a person took my truma and he gave it to a kohen, so Tosfos deals with the question of Bomasiyah Davo, could I take that money back from the kohen? And I could tell the kohen, the person that gave you my truma was not authorized to do so. He had no right to do so. So give me back that truma and I will decide to whom to give it. Tosfos says, no, it doesn't go back. So I will not discuss today what the question is, but that is a very profound and interesting shaila. The shaila is that Hefker? That cell phone? Does it belong to anyone?
Basco.
Basco Menashomayim. I don't think that the way Basco should sound. So the question is, whether the person that was mafresh truma, and he has the privilege to decide to whom to give it, is he in the status of a makna, or he's just in the status of a noisein, but there is no haknoa required? If the kohen needs to make a kinyan, then a kohen needs a makna. And if the person who gave the kohen the truma was not authorized to do so because it's not the bailim, there is no makna. So the proper owner has the right to take that truma back. But if there is no haknoa involved, it's just a privilege to choose to whom to give the truma, then if the kohen already received that truma, he's not obliged to give it back. So the machlokes says, does he deserve compensation or not? And the question is, toivos anoa momoin or einoi momoin? So if a person gave a loan, is the borrower entitled to do a favor to the lender? And it's just Toivos Anoa. He's not giving him money. He's not giving him anything. He's just doing him a favor. So on Kuf Samach Siv Chov Gimel, there is a clear halacha. If Reuven lends money to Shimon, Shimon cannot say, you know, I have a lot of work to give out. I'm a contractor, and I need, you know, and I have subcontractors. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a lot of work, and I could supply you with a lot of work. And the Gemara says, and the Halacha says, that's libis. That's defined as libis. Now, I didn't give him a gift. He's working for that money, and he earns that money, but I did do him a favor, because any worker is happy to have work. And it shouldn't be taken for granted. Many people have a profession, but not always do they have enough work to do. So supplying a person with work, that is defined as libis. And you cannot do that because he gave you a loan, because that is considered libis. So that's in Sif Chav Gemel. And the Shach and the Taz argue that there's a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch, because in Siman Kuf Ayin Beis, Siv Dalet, the halacha is that if Reuven lends money to Shimon, then Shimon is entitled, and Reuven has a mashkin, which is a suda, a field that belongs to Shimon. Then Shimon could stipulate with Reuven, I'm giving you a loan, but I want you to sell me that field, and that's okay. That's not considered libis, because he's paying the full price. So what is the difference between the borrower supplying work to the lender or the borrower selling a field to the lender? That's the kash of the Taz. And that is why the Taz rejects this halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz argues it contradicts the other halacha that the lender could stipulate, I'm going to lend you money if you sell me your field. That's okay. Siman Kuf Ayin Beis. So why can't the lender say, I'm going to lend you money if you're going to supply me work? So the Taz asked that kasha, and the Shach responds in two different ways. Chavos Das has a new interpretation of Siman Kuf Ayin Beis. And the Chavos Das writes that the scenario is Reuven lends money to Shimon on the condition that you sell me the field. And if you sell me that field, then the money should be lemafreya the mei mekach, and not the halvoa. So the Chavos Das argues, in that case, memonavshech, it's never ribis. If at the end he sells him that field, then there never was halvoa. And there's no halvoa, it was mikora and mekach, a business transaction. The money I gave is not a halavoa, never was a loan. Iglor milson amafreya, that was paying for the field. And if ultimately he won't sell him the field, then he got nothing. So memon of shechav is no esaribis. But that is extremely unreasonable, and it's not misyashav b'loshon ha-Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch does not explain that the condition was that the money would lemafreya be the mei mekach. No, we're dealing with a proper loan, and the money will be repaid, but then you will send me your field. So what is the difference between these two halachas? Lanias daiti, the difference is so obvious, because ribis is about perception, the way people see it. And following the derech that I argued before regarding Ribis Devorim, I think the same would apply to Toivus HaNoah. So when a person sells a field, we assume that the buyer could buy another field, the seller has no problem finding a person to purchase the field, and the buyer could buy either this field or another. So when Reuven sells a field to Shimon, it's not perceived as doing him a great favor. You're getting the price you asked for, and I am looking for a field, so the fact that I said I want you to sell me your field. That is not perceived as you're doing me a great favor. You are, because I want this field. But the way people see it, that is not defined as a favor. But supplying work to a laborer, that is perceived as a great favor. Because there are so many workers out there who are looking for work. And almost none of them, or very few of them, has as much work as he can take or he would like to do. So that is perceived as doing a favor. And if you borrowed money, you cannot do a favor to your lender, to your benefactor. So I think that would be the difference between these two halachas, and it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of how it's perceived by people, because that is ultimately the defining factor regarding ribbis. So when the ribbis is actually ribbis mamoin, it's always considered the ribbis, because that is objective. You got 100 and you're giving back 120, that is ribbis. But when we're dealing with ribbis devorim, or even with ribbis of toivis hanoah, that all depends on perception and the way people see it. So when I stipulate, I'm going to lend you money, but I want you to sell me the house, to sell me the field, that is not defined as a favor, and that is legitimate. But if I stipulate, I want you to supply me with work instead of turning to other people, that is defined as a great favor, and therefore that would be defined as ribbis. Kach nera lani es daiki. Going back to our previous conversation, very interesting tshuva nigris moshe. Yoredei chelek alav simen pei. So nigris moshe has a psak to which I cannot agree, and I have difficulty understanding nigris moshe. So we pass it. If a person gave me a loan, and I print a sefer, I could thank him in the sefer. Even though he didn't give a donation, he lended me money, but I could give him a broche in the sefer. So Rav Moshe writes, all I'm doing is a sipur devarim. It's a sipur devarim that a kodesh boch yishalom lo yikin gemurah atoy, because he supports Torah. So the broches are from a kodesh boch to him, not from me to him. And what I write is just like a sipur devarim. I don't understand, because it's not a sipur devarim. As a sipur devarim, it would be very boring. I know people are really, besides the person that gave the money and his family, no one is really very interested. Or schnorrers that might turn to him for a donation. But what does the Moshe mean it's a sipur devarim? I think it's far more than thanking a person personally when you thank him in a sefer. And if it's a sefer that many people will learn in and hundreds of people will see that he's a kind person and a generous person, a supporter of Torah. So you gave him the greatest thank you possible, far more than imloy hoyo roge lahatim loy sholem, loy yatim loy sholem. And if you write a thank you and a brocha to him in a sefer, of course that would be considered ribbis devarim. I would see no heter. So you could thank people that gave a donation, but if a person gave you a loan to print the sefer, I don't think you could thank him in the sefer. I think that is beyond basic manners or basic courtesy, and that is in most cases. Some people don't like their names to be publicized, and if he doesn't want it, definitely don't do it. But if he really would be happy with that dedication in a sefer, I think that definitely would be defined as ribbis devarim velo kedivrei igros moshe. So we discussed an interesting sugi, the sugi of ribbis devarim, and we had some major chidushim in the sugi, as I explained. So this week's parsha, we read ki seitze lemelchama al avecho, and many times they say whatever we learn elul, we need to learn of an elul diken oifen. And many interpreters, like the Or HaChaim and Sefer Chassidus, say that this melchama refers not only to warfare between armies and nations and peoples and lands, but it also refers to melchama gedoyla. And Achoves Alvavis is a very well-known moshel about a great general, a great warrior, a commander that came home from the battlefield victorious, and many people came together to cheer him and to thank him and to applaud him. And a chassid walked over to the giver and he said, you think you come back from a great war, you came back from a small war, and the big war is still before you. And the general, the commander, asked the chassid, what do you mean? And he said, the biggest war of them all, the greatest war, is Melchemes HaYetzer. And you're so proud and so arrogant, you should know the big war is still before you. So why does the Chovas HaLevavos write, that's the biggest war of war? Because in the nature of warfare, big wars, small wars, in this country, Baruch Hashem, most of us remember, not all of us, there are some youngsters here, the Six-Day War, which was a major war on three fronts, three battlefields, and Benissa Nissim took 6 days. The war in Vietnam took 15 years. So some wars are short, most of them are long. But at the end, when all dies down and the smoke clears from the battlefield, there usually is one party that is victorious and the other that is vanquished. But a Melchemes HaYetzer, it's never over. Ad Zebula B'Sraisa. And Chazal teaches us, Al Tamen B'Yatzmacho Ad Yoy Moischo Shara Yoychen and Koyen Godel Shemesh B'Kohuna Gedoyla Shemoinim Shono Ula B'Soif Nase Tzedoyki. Al Tamen B'Yatzmacho Ad Yoy Moischo. It's never over. Because the Eitzar is never destroyed and never vanquished. And he always will be back. And he always will be back with new tachbulois and new ideas and new tricks. So don't let down your guard. So the chassid told the warrior, the big war is still before you. And that is the greatest of all wars, which is Melchemes HaYetzer. So the pasuk says, Ki seitzeh malchom alavecho. And chazal seh malchusa de rokiya, me'ein malchusa de ara. And Melchemes HaYetzer is me'ein melchoma. It's like warfare. And there are two ways to wage war. You could wage war like an idiot. Just fight and fight and fight and kill and kill and kill. So a good strategist understands that to be victorious with a minimum loss of people, you need to destroy the other party's infrastructure and its ability to wage war and its motivation to wage war. So you gotta destroy his industry. You gotta hurt his infrastructure. Bomb the rail tracks, bomb the roads. He should not be able to mobilize and bring people and supplies to the front. So the wise way to wage war is not just to kill all the soldiers. You're going to lose so many resources and so many of your own till you might ultimately win, but the price will be one that is horrendous and you might not be able to pay. So you need to destroy his ability to wage war. Don't kill all the soldiers, but destroy his infrastructure, destroy his fuel. So he might have 1,000 tanks and 10,000 planes, but he doesn't have any fuel and he has no runways and he has no roads, then he can't fight. And the same is b'melchemes HaYetzer. So if you just sit there and wait for the Yetzer to attack and then fight him every day and every night and any moment of the day, a moment of the night, that price is one that's too difficult to pay. And ultimately, he will knock you out. So you need to fight his resources. And what are those resources? So Midas Rois are not sins. But there's a very famous moshe that I quote many times from Reb Chaim Vital and Shari Kedusha. And Reb Chaim Vital and Shari Kedusha asks, why ain't Midas Rois in the list of lo ta'asin? And why ain't Midas Tovis in the list of mitzvahs asay? We have Tariyag mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs are not included. And Reb Chaim Vital explains, it's not because they are less important than the mitzvahs. It is because they are more fundamental. And he gives a mashal. So a person signed a deal with a contractor to bend a skyscraper, 50 stories. And the price was $1 million for every floor, $50 million to have that size standing. At the end of the day, after 5 years, the skyscraper is standing, and when payday comes, he writes a $50 million check, and then the contractor says, no, no, no. I also put your soidis into the ground, and you pay extra for that. And he says, you're crazy. You can't build five stories without the fundament, without the soidis. We're talking about 50 stories. That's included in the price. So Reb Chaim Vitel says, the midas, that's the basics. Those are the fundaments. Those are the yesoidis. They're included. You cannot perform any mitzvahs without midas toivis. So it's not because the midas are of lesser importance. It's because they are even more fundamental. And in order to perform taryag mitzvahs, you need to be metukun b'midas toivis. So that's where the Yetzer Hara takes his strength. Akinah v'tavah v'kavod. And they are aim kol chatos. So when we stand in Chodesh El and we try to do tshuva and come closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, one of the most important things to deal with is midas toivos. And primarily the ones ben olam l'chaveiroi, as the Gemara says, ha'maver al midosav ma'vir eloi akol pshuav. V'kona marachim ala briyos marachim amorov min ha'shomayim, we learn in Shabbos Kuf Nun Gimel. And so on. And in other sources and shas, that is the way to fight the Yetzer. But the most important thing is, you need to fight. So there's a Gemara on Brochas Daf Hei. So Chazal gave three different zgulas. How one could overcome the Yetzer Hara. Talmud Torah, Kriya Shema, Yaskaloi, Yoyim Hamisa. And many people wonder, some of us learn Torah all day. Yeshiva boys, Koilel guys, they learn three Zdorim. Are they all protected from the Yetzer Hara? Definitely not. And sometimes even people that learn Torah do terrible things. And I'm not revealing any secrets. Could happen. Could happen to all of us. Everybody has his struggles. Everybody has his difficulties with his Yetzer Hara. V'kol ha'godol mechaveiro yitzei godol emeno. But some of us learn Torah all day. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is twice a day. Most of us say Kriya Shema four times a day, not twice a day. We say Kriya Shema before Shachris, by Berchas HaShacham. We say Kriya Shema She'al Amito, after performing the mitzvah B'shach B'cho of Komecho, Kriya Shema She'Shachris and Kriya Shema She'Larvis. So we have a lot of Talmud Torah. We have twice as much Kriya Shema as we are required to. And at least if you live in Yerushalayim, you have no problem with the Yaskol HaYoyim HaMisa. 10 times a day, the loudspeakers blare out about Levayis. I have a very close friend that just couldn't take it. He couldn't bear it. He left Yerushalayim. He says, gets him into a depression. He can't, every 10 minutes he's here by, there's another loudspeaker, and he listens, whether it's not his name they're announcing. So it was too much for him, and he moved out of Yerushalayim. I know some Chevra Kedisha people. That's their profession. And they have no need of Yaskal HaYoyim HaMisa. They have Kriya Shema. They learn Torah. Yaskal HaYoyim HaMisa. How come they still struggle with the Yetzer Hara? The answer is a very simple one. The lesson of the Gemara is, La'olam yargez odom yetzer tov al yetzer hara. What does that mean? Rashi writes, Yase imoy milchomo. You need to fight. So, Torah, Krishma, Yom HaMisa, those are the tools, the weaponry you have in your arsenal. You have tanks, you have missiles, you have artillery, you have armor, you have planes, you have bombs. But no army ever won a war without fighting. fact that you have all the weaponry and all the tools and all everything at your disposal, if you won't use them and you won't fight, how would you expect to win? So the fact that you're learning Torah and saying Kriya Shema and you remember 100 times a day Yom Misa is not enough. It starts with La'olam Yageh Zodom Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Ro. Rashi says Yasam L'chom. You're not fighting. You're not aware that you need to fight. You're just so complacent and so happy. You're not aware. You're not aware of your Yetzer Hara. You have a friendly Yetzer Hara. He has a friendly adversary. And you're at peace with him. If you're not aware it's a war, that it's a Malchome Gedoyla, the greatest war, like the Chovis Avovis writes in the name of Ploini Almoini the Chosid, so how do you expect to be victorious if you don't even fight him? So when it comes El, you need to be aware that the Yetzer is not your friend and he's out there to get you. And you need to fight him and be aware that you need to fight. Be aware that life is a struggle. Be aware and don't take anything for granted. Be aware of Melchemes HaYetzer. Yag Ezodim Yetzer Atoy Val Yetzer. Ki Seitze Lemelchom Alavecho. And if you really go out to fight, then you'll have Siyata Deshmaya Unasonoi Hashem Elokecho Biyodecho. Abola Tarem Esayin Loi. And like the Shara Tshuva writes at the beginning of Shara Aleph and Shara Tshuva, that about Tshuva has Siyata Deshmaya. About Tshuva has Siyata Deshmaya Lamala Mederech HaTeva. And if you want to do Tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. You just go out to fight, and you'll have Siyata Deshmaya Unasonai Hashem Elokecho Biyodecho. So we should go out to fight, and we should be victorious, and we should have Siyata Deshmaya, and we should be able to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Tshuva Tefillah V'Tzlocha Mavir and Asrei Agzeru. We should all be Zoche to Aksiva V'Chasiva Toivim. Besiplon shel tzaddikim gemurim, we should have a good gebench yor shana toive mesuko, and we should be zoichet that this coming year should be a shenas v'ulav Yeshua for us all b'mheiro v'yomeinu.